Did that move you? Did that commercial move any of you? Maybe some of you are thinking, "Ah, I need to call my mom now," right? Some of you going like, "Oh, things I wish I would have told my mom." Or you have a spouse going, "Okay, we're going to take a road trip," right? So all this stuff may be going on in your mind, but here's the question. Really, what moves you? What moves you? And I'm not talking about just crying. I'm not talking about sentimental stuff. What is it that really gets deep down within you that would cause you to spring into action, to actually do something? You know, there's a chemical reaction that takes place when something moves us deeply enough to make us want to take action. There's a chemical reaction that actually causes that. You might remember a few years ago, World Vision came in and they took a Sunday and they had brought out their new way of getting sponsors. It was called Chosen. And the whole premise was that the kids, in our case, the kids in Bangladesh, in a village in Bangladesh, would choose us. That we would take our picture here, send it over to Bangladesh, our team went over there, and then our kids would pick us based on whatever criteria they had. And for whatever was going on in that presentation, when we thought about we would be chosen, something within us caused us to act. 127 families chose to do this. 127 families. 127 families chose an act of unleashing compassion. When we think about unleashing compassion, we have to go back to really the one that is the best example, and that's Jesus. When we go back to looking at Jesus and how he unleashed compassion, I want to show you four scripture passages today that have the word compassion in them. And that word, compassion, is actually the word splachnizomai, whatever, right? Splachnizomai. That's the Greek word, you know. My guy putting the slides in had to verify, "You want this on the slide?" I said, "Yes, absolutely," right? Because that is the word that is in Greek, all four passages today. Now, I'm not showing you this to say I know a whole lot about Greek. I took one class of Greek and I took one class of German. I know about equal amounts of both. And I learned German from Hogan's Heroes mostly. And I learned Greek mostly from YouTube and Google. They taught me most. I know about that, right? So I just want you to know, be aware that this same word is used four times in our passage today. And that word literally means moved to the inmost parts. In other words, a gut level thing going on. So our first passage we look into is in actually Matthew chapter 9. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. I want you to understand that this is one of the four passages that we're going to look at. This is the one that sort of puts the compassion after the fact. It was like, it tells us what he was doing. He was preaching. He was doing all this stuff. He had compassion. Literally, the compassion needs to go first, okay? But in this case, it comes second. Because what you see here in every instance, particularly the rest of these, is Jesus saw their compassion. And then he had compassion because he saw something in the people. And in this case, what did he see? He saw their spiritual state. Jesus was moved by their spiritual state. This compassion, this moving within him was because of the spiritual state of the people, of the crowds. And this crowd, what did Matthew tell us? They were harassed and helpless. They were harassed and helpless. And wait a second, they're just crowds. What do you mean they're harassed and helpless? Where were they living? They were living in a Roman-controlled world, and they were living in a religion-denominated society, a religion dominated by Pharisees, a religion dominated by rules and regulations. They were harassed and helpless because that was their culture. They were harassed most likely because of the Romans, because the Romans could do what they wanted to do. The Romans had power, physical power, political power. They could do what they want, and the people couldn't do anything back. So they could treat them the way they wanted to. The religious people had the same deal. They were the uppity-ups. They had the high ground, the moral high ground. And if people wanted to try to stay right with God, what did they have to do? They had to go to the temple. They had to do things the correct way, or else they couldn't feel that they had made things right with God. So they harassed them into doing things the way that they wanted them done, according to the 635 rules and regulations. They were helpless to do anything about it. They were just common folks. They were helpless to say anything or do anything to the Romans because, hey, they had the mighty strength. They had the soldiers. They were helpless. And they couldn't change the way the religion of the world was going during that time. Those were the chief priests and the Pharisees, Sadducees, and everybody else in the world, the people that came to see Jesus, that came to hear Jesus, they were helpless when it came to anything about making religion a little bit more better or more palatable for them. So when Jesus saw them, he was moved. He was moved. And what he did, I want you to understand what he did. And this is over and over, particularly Mark and Matthew mention this more than the others. Luke does in some of the parables. Jesus was preaching, the kingdom of God is near. The kingdom of heaven is near. You see those three words, kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven, over and over again when Jesus is speaking. That was his message. His message to the harassed and helpless people, the kingdom of God is at hand. The kingdom of heaven is near. The kingdom of God is in your midst. And he said he saw them as a sheep without a shepherd. And what's the primary thing a shepherd is to do for his sheep? To keep them safe and to help them thrive. And Jesus comes with this message to harassed and helpless people, and says, the kingdom of God's here. The kingdom of God that will not harass you. A kingdom of God that will give you hope. Why? Because the kingdom of God's in your midst. He wasn't talking about a place. He was talking about the reign of God. He was talking about the authority of God. He was talking about God's sovereignty, which had nothing to do with what was going on in the religion of this day. Over the Roman authorities. It had everything to do with one that would come alongside. The one that would come alongside and let you know, hey, you may be harassed, but I'm with you. You may feel helpless, but with me, you have hope. That's the kingdom of God that Jesus was preaching. That's what he was telling them. Tell them the kingdom of God is here. It's with you right now. What I love when Paul was writing to the Romans, obviously, the people in Rome and had to deal with the Roman authorities, Paul said, you know what? The kingdom of God is actually peace and joy and the presence of the Holy Spirit. God with you. Spirit of God with you. That's the kingdom of God. Peace and joy and the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit with you. Not to help you overthrow the Romans, not to help you do anything to change whatever the religion of the day is, but to have a relationship with Lord God Almighty. We are trending seriously toward a culture that will harass us because of our stand on the biblical truth. We are trending toward a culture that is going to almost make the church feel helpless. And God says, the kingdom of God is in your midst. The kingdom of heaven is near. It's me with you. Not to overthrow the world, but to give you a foundation and faith to live in it. To make it through and to know that there's something greater in this world. That there's something beyond this day-to-day life that gives us hope. We also see Jesus' compassion in two other places in Matthew. I'm gonna pair them together and you'll see why. Matthew 14, verse 13, when Jesus heard what had happened, this is referencing John the Baptist has just been killed. John the Baptist has just been beheaded. When Jesus heard that had happened, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. Hearing of this, the crowds following him on foot from the towns. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them and healed their sick. And then we jump to Matthew 15. Jesus left Tyre, he left there, which is Tyre and Sidon, and went along the Sea of Galilee. Then he went up on a mountainside, sat down. Great crowds came to him, bringing the lame, the blind, the crippled, the mute, and many others. Laid them at his feet, and he healed them. The people were amazed when they saw the mute speaking, the crippled made well, the lame walking, the blind seeing. They praised God of Israel. Jesus called his disciples to him and said, I have compassion for these people, for they have already been without been with me three days and have had nothing to eat. I don't want to send them away hungry, or they may collapse on the way. Jesus had compassion. Jesus was moved because of the discomfort of the people. That there was discomfort there. The first instant, there were sick people. Second one, they were hungry. There was discomfort there that moved Jesus. And I'm not saying that Jesus ignored their spiritual state, because I believe as he began preaching, every time he preached, that was his message. The kingdom of God is near. The kingdom of heaven is near. But he was moved when he saw these crowds because of different things. And two of these were right here, was the hunger and the pain that the people were suffering. The hunger and the pain. And some of you have been there. Some of you have been there when the pain is so bad, whatever it is, whether it's pain before you get relief or pain after the surgery, you're in pain some way or the other. The last thing you're thinking about, quote unquote, is your spiritual state. You're not thinking about that. What you want, that relief from pain first. When you get that relief from pain, then you're a little more open to thinking about the spiritual state of your mind or your soul. Same thing when you're hungry. If you ever gone and I just completely hungry and gone for hours, well, days, let's go days, let's go 3 days or whatever, you're only worried about the next meal. Where's the next meal going to come from? You're not out there looking for salvation. You're looking for a steak, right? So, and Jesus understood that. Jesus understood that, and he was moved by the fact that these people had a felt need. They were uncomfortable, very uncomfortable, with pain and hunger, and he needed to meet that need. He was moved, and he took action, and he was able to. Jesus put himself in this position to be moved by these people, and then he did something about it. And he was always doing this. We're just looking at a few references today. He was always putting himself in a position to be moved by people, and then he was able to take action. He could take action on that. You know, there are times when we find ourselves in a conundrum. This happened a couple times this week. We have basketball games going on a lot in our gym during the week. And we always make sure we have a staff person over there, because with crowds coming in and out, you need some kind of presence over there. Safety and security and everything else. You just need a person responsible to keep eyeballs on everything and to make sure people don't get out of hand. Did y'all know parents get out of hand at sports events? Did y'all notice that? Just I don't know if you may notice that. Anyway, so we have a lady over there, faithful lady, wonderful lady. This week, someone came up to the church, hungry, homeless, needing help. And the only person they talked to was our lady, who was on the clock, so to speak, was sort of stuck. She was moved by the fact that this person needed help, and she understood that this felt like a legitimate concern, a legitimate problem for this person. But she was stuck. She had a responsibility for the safety and security of hundreds of people, and she had this one person, and she was moved. She was stuck. What do you do? I had a comment last week on Facebook, and our Facebook host, I could tell when she sent me the message that she was moved when this person said, "I need food for my children." And I could tell when she sent me the message, "What do you do?" She was moved. And there are some times when we are in these positions where we're moved and we don't know what to do. We're handcuffed, maybe by the fact that we're with our children, or the fact that we have some place to go for our work, and we're handcuffed. We don't know what to do. That's what the church is for. All right, there's so much more we can do together than an individual can do. We have a lot of talents and a lot of gifts, many different ones in this church. And really what moves one person may not move another person. You know, 100 of us could leave today, we turn right and go down to that popular corner at John D. Odom and the Publix thing, and there might be a person out there with a sign, "Need food." Y'all have all seen them before. And out of 100 people, only one person may actually stop and give them food or take them to the grocery store to get them. We're all moved in different ways. We're all moved in different ways. We have three families, for sure, three families that have been moved by the Celebrate Recovery Ministry that have year in and year out helped out with meals for Celebrate Recovery. You have a couple small groups that are moved by Celebrate Recovery and the Dothan Rescue Mission and monthly cooking meals for these ministries. We're all moved in different ways. And thank God that we have a church that is diverse as it is, because we can do more together than we can as individuals. Are we putting ourselves in a position to be moved? That's my question. Jesus regularly put himself in those positions to be moved by people. To be moved by people. And I'm wondering if a lot of us take a step back and we treat these situations like we treat the St. Jude or the ASPCA commercials on TV. We change the channel as soon as they come on because we don't want to be moved by those commercials. Are we putting ourselves in a position to be moved? There's one more instance of compassion we find in Jesus' his life. There's a whole lot of others. I'm just picking out four today. But the next one is Matthew 20, verses 29 through 34. As Jesus and his disciples were leaving Jericho, a large crowd followed him. Have you caught the theme? A large crowd's always there. Two blind men were sitting by the roadside. When they heard that Jesus was going by, they shouted, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us." The crowd rebuked them and told them to be quiet, but they shouted all the louder, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us." Jesus stopped and called them, "What do you want me to do for you?" "Lord," they answered, "we want our sight." Jesus had compassion on them, touched their eyes. Immediately they received their sight and followed him. Jesus was not moved by the fact that they were blind. He was moved by their faith. He was moved by their faith. And I will actually make the case, this may have been a sort of a misguided half attempt at faith, but still, it was faith in Jesus. We put our faith in a whole lot of things that amount to nothing. We put our faith in stuff that give us nothing. But these folks, these two people, put their faith in Jesus. They undoubtedly had heard about Jesus. They had heard about this guy named Jesus that was making the lame walk and the blind see. And he was healing all these things. They had undoubtedly heard about that because they were not eyewitnesses to it. Yeah, some of y'all got that. Right. Because they were never around, obviously, so they'd only heard about it. So their faith was not a complete faith in Jesus. It was really a faith in what he could do. Because nobody else had been able to help them. They had been living their lives this way. But there's a chance that maybe this God Jesus can do something for us that nobody else has been able to do for us at all. And when they placed their faith in Jesus, wow, look what happened. The point of all these four passages in Matthew is this. God is compassionate. God is compassionate to his children. And we should be compassionate with each other. So the question that I want you to think about, are we moved to move? Are we moved to move? In other words, do you have the guts for compassion? Do you have the guts for compassion? It's not easy. It's not convenient. It will take some effort. What we are offering in these next few weeks, we want our church to experience a whole lot of opportunities to unleash compassion. So we've actually made these booklets available there. We've sent emails out and we've got it on our Facebook page and stuff. So you can access everything that we have offered in the next couple weeks about specific ways for you to unleash compassion in our community. And what I'm telling you is, I hope that you see these as an appetizer, to whet your appetite for more in the days and months to come. Every time Jesus was around people, he was moved. He was moved. And he was moved to do something. He was actually in step with God the whole time. And as he was in step with God, that meant more than just preaching the kingdom of heaven. It was about acting and having acts of compassion to those he was speaking to and to those who were listening to him. Unleashing compassion is really what happens when we pursue God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. It's in lockstep with what we're supposed to do. See, if we just pursue God just for the sake of knowledge, what do we have? And if we just help people out just for the sake of helping people out, either for a tax benefit or to make ourselves feel good, what is that? But when you do both, when you could pursue God and you unleash compassion, you're like Jesus. And like Jesus, what you can offer is hope. Hope for friendship with the God of the universe. Let's pray. God, we really do have a tendency to think of ourselves first and foremost, of our families first and foremost. And there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that at all. But as we try to figure out what it means to pursue you with everything that we've got, what it means to be like your son, Jesus, God, help us to be more and more like him, to be moved by what moved him, to act more like he acted. And God, I know that's going to look differently. So many different people, so many different talents and gifts in this room. God, it's going to look differently. Everybody's not going to be moved the same way. But may we put ourselves in a position to be moved, to go to places, to go to people that will move us so that we can be Jesus to them. In his name I pray. Amen.